聖書の朗読をいたします。今朝の旧約聖書はコヘレトの言葉第2章の13節です。旧約聖書の1036ページ。コヘレトの言葉第2章13節。私の見たところでは光が闇に勝るように知恵は愚かさに勝る。以上です。新約聖書はマタイによる福音書第5章の13節から16節までです。新約聖書の6ページ。マタイによる福音書第5章13節以下。あなた方は地の塩である。だが塩に塩気がなくなれば、その塩は何によって塩味がつけられよう。もはや何の役にも立たず、外に投げ捨てられ、人々に踏みつけられるだけである。あなた方は世の光である。山の上にある町は隠れることができない。また灯火を灯してマスの下に置くものはいない。燭台の上に置く。そうすれば家の中のものすべてを照らすのである。そのようにあなた方の光を人々の前に輝かしなさい。人々があなた方の立派な行いを見て、あなた方の天の父を崇めるようになるためである。以上です。お祈りを捧げます。私たちの住むこの世界に主イエスキリストを救い主として送ってくださいました神様、あなたの皆を讃えます。今日私たちは10月に入り、世界生産日、世界宣教の日として歩みをしております。そしてここで私たちは礼拝に招かれ、あなたの御前に心からの礼拝を捧げています。主なる神様、今年は新型コロナウイルスの感染拡大によって私たちは本当に脅威を覚えました。今なお恐れの中にいます。しかしあなたにより頼み、あなたを主として歩むことによって、私たちは平安を得ることができます。こうして礼拝を捧げることができる幸いを感謝いたします。しかしながら私たちはこの群れの中に、今日ここに集うことのできない人たちがいることも知っています。どうかそれぞれの場所で今礼拝を捧げている一人一人に、私たちと同じ恵みで包んでください。世界中の教会がイエス様のお体と恩知、パンとブドウ酒を分かち合ってこの日を過ごしますが、多くの教会は今聖餐を祝うことができません。私たちの教会もその一つであります。しかし今私たちの礼拝堂に杯と、そして皿を掲げ、イエス様が今ここにいて私たちを取りなしてくださることを思い起こします。神様、どうか近い将来、私たちはこの礼拝の中で聖餐を祝うことができますように。また世界の教会を覚えて祈ります。教会だけではありません。さまざまな宗教を信じているもの、また宗教を持っていないもの、一人一人を覚えてください。あなたから命をいただいた私たち、どうぞそのことを喜び歩むことが許されますように。私たちの日本キリスト教団は世界のあらゆる国に宣教師を送っています。私たちに親しい秋葉睦子宣教師をはじめとして、各国に今赴き、そしてその地にある方々と共に あなたの御言葉を述べ伝えている宣教師のお一人お一人の働きをどうかお守りください。そして世界中から私たちの日本のために宣教に来てくださっている宣教師のお一人お一人を覚えてください。今朝私たちはそのお一人であるデボラ・ウィニピグ・ジュリアン先生をここにお迎えして御言葉に聞こうとしています。どうか御言葉を取り継がれる先生を強め、聖霊の力によって私たち恵みに満たされることができますようにしてください。一人一人の心の中の祈りがあります。悲しみのうちにある人、苦しみの中にある人、また病のところにある人たちがいます。どうか私たちが私自身のことだけでなく他の人々のことを覚えながら今日この礼拝を捧げていくことができますように、この言い尽くせない感謝と祈りを私たちの礼拝の祈りとして主イエスキリストの御名によって今御前にお捧げいたします。アーメン。今日は今お祈りに覚えましたようにデボラ・ウニピグ・ジュリアン先生をお迎えして礼拝を共に祝おうとしております。先生の説教のタイトルは Salt and Light in the Marketplace、広瀬先生が訳してくださったものは市場の中の塩と光でしたか。早速先生お話しいただきたいと思います。よろしくお願いいたします。
おはようございます。お久しぶりです Let me start the message with a question. Two questions, actually. My first question is, what comes to your mind when you hear the word missionary?What is a missionary? When I look up the word in several dictionaries, I obviously found many definitions, and I jot down a few. A missionary is who, in response to God's call and gifting, leaves his or home comfort zone and crosses cultural, geographic,or other barriers to proclaim the gospel and live out a Christian witness in obedience to the Great Commission. Christians love them. Governments tolerate them. Parents miss them. And Christ protects them.A missionary has the presence of a fisherman, the audacity of a tightrope walker, the carefulness of a bookkeeper, the vision of a dreamer, the strength of a builder, the intelligence of a teacher, and the wit of a humorist. Wow.But in my personal definition of missionary is that he likes letters from home, children, plain preaching, mission recruits, faith promise conferences, tracts, printing presses, radio stations, translators, email messages, cameras,airplanes, maps, Bible studies, cities, and peanut butter. I like peanut butter a lot. I'm referring to myself. But since I like to keep it simple, the simple definition means what best purpose for today's World Communion Sunday and World Mission Day. A missionary is the one who is sent on a mission. A missionary is the one who is sent on a mission. Now, let me ask you the second question. Based on that definition, how many of you here this morning are missionaries? If we're honest, most of us probably don't think of ourselves in those terms. We tend to think the term is reserved for those who, like me and my family, who belong to a mission organization, and who usually go to some remote place of the world to share the good news of Jesus. But it says here, every Christ follower is a missionary. Well, by that definition, every Christian is a missionary because every Christian here on this church, there is a mission. The mission has been defined for us in 2 Corinthians 5, 18-21. And it says, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him new, no sin to be seen for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It has been well said that every person on earth is either a missionary or a mission field. In Acts 13, we have Paul and Barnabas called out from church at Antioch to be missionaries. It tells us that the people has fasted, prayed, and laid down their hands on them, and then sent them away. They are actually the first recorded missionaries in the Bible. But just a note of interest, you will not find the word missionary or missions anywhere in the Bible. The word mission comes from a Latin word meaning to throw, to let go, or send. And that's what the churches do, don't we? We follow God's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus entered our world, he didn't box himself inside the four walls of the synagogue. He walked into the lives of sinners. He touched the lepers. He associated with prostitutes. He dined with heathen. He scandalized the religious community by penetrating the world. And in order for Jesus to reach out and rescue the world, he had to penetrate it. Likewise, for us to impact and influence the world for Christ, we must penetrate it. As John Stott said, we are to go as he went. We penetrate human society to mix with unbelievers and fraternize with sinners. But that's not one of the church greatest failures here. Let's check it out. We have disengaged too much. We have become a drone community sometimes. We become aloof instead of alongside. On Sunday, the church gathers, but on Monday through Saturday, the church scatters into the marketplace. Followers of Jesus Christ live as God's ambassadors. They are his representatives, his messengers. They are on mission. Jesus' strategy always involved believers going to the world to penetrate the marketplace. Followers of Christ must recognize their ministry and mission of communicating God's love to people they come into contact each day. But why? Because of the biblical mandate, which is, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may be good works. They may see your good works and give glory to God in Father. Imagine Jesus standing on a quiet hillside by the Sea of Galilee, speaking quietly to a small band of elders. Then picture it all. In the marketplace of scurried, confused, noisy, and hectic world, these rays find their mark. And I am constantly amazed that rays that grip the hearts of first century believers can still strike responsive chords in the hearts of men and women today. And let me highlight three things and strengthen Jesus' imagery of light that have. One is that radiate Christ's love. Jesus made it absolutely clear that he wants his followers to radiate his love to those around them. That's why he talked about light. And that for that, it has no choice. We can turn a light on in them and tell it to dispel darkness. The very nature of light is such that it must shatter the darkness around it. And in the same way, Christians should, by their nature, radiate something of the word of God in their lives to people around them. We are the light of the world. We must therefore radiate that light and dispel darkness. Two, don't refuse to shine. Jesus made it obvious that he wants us to spread his influence to every corner. Jesus anticipated that some believers might choose to limit their candle power, to refuse shine their lights. He knew that they would feel securely hidden under a bowl or in stained glass sanctuary, where they could bask in their anonymity and escape the accountability associated with going public with their faith. He anticipated this and forbade it. Let your light shine, he commanded. He did not, and he does not. Now, believers, the option of letting the words remain in undisturbed blackness. Three, is spread Christ's influence. Jesus made it obvious that he wants us to spread his influence to every corner of this dark, fallen world. It's not enough that we simply take our lives off hiding. He wants us to put them on the lampstand where everyone can see them. God wants the light of his love to be held high so it can be permeate every bit of darkness. Now, reflecting on, what did the COVID-19 do to the world? What did it do to Japan's local population, to churches, communities, families, to you and me? Did it get our attention? Did it mobilize us? Did it brought us out the best in us or the worst? How did we become agent of light? How did we penetrate the marketplace? How can we bring glory to God and touch the lives of people we meet in positive, life-changing way? I found something in reading today's days. There are three. To communicate the love of Christ. Take an unseen partner. Leave the psalmist who wrote, I keep the Lord in mind always because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. before you go to work, or even on a new normal situation, take time to pray about your job. Pray for people who will be working with and those you'll be serving. Remember, God is the unseen partner. In all of life, He is with us wherever we are, and we need His presence, especially in the marketplace. And so, number two, transform your attitude. Work like the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, the Father through Him." At work, whatever it may be, have an attitude that reflects the positive nature of God's grace on your life. Many jobs are boring. The marketplace is often a maze of nameless people. And sometimes, good employees don't get promoted or recognized. The woes of layoffs and the threats of mergers and downsizing can be discouraging. But in the midst of less desirable circumstances, attitude can transform a boring, thankless job into a Christian ministry. I'll tell you, there's this one testimony of Gordon MacDonald, who pastored a church in New York City. He would ride the same bus daily from his home to the church. One day, the bus driver complained to MacDonald, You've got it a lot better than me. You have an interesting job and travel different places. I just drive this bus up and down the same streets every day." But MacDonald told the bus driver, his job could be a Christian ministry too. Every day, he would, when you first get on this bus, before anyone else gets in, dedicate the bus to God for that day. Declared it to be a sanctuary for God for that day. Consecrate it to God's glory. And then act like it is a place where God dwells. Several years later, MacDonald returned from a trip and saw the bus driver. "You've transformed my life," the man exclaimed. "I've been doing what you said every day, and it has made me see my job in an entirely new perspective." The same transformation could happen to you and me in your work if you would take the time to adjust your attitude each day. Third, realize your job is your mission field. The Apostle Paul reminds us, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first the Jew and also to the Greek." Why should I be ashamed of the gospel, asked Paul? It is the message of salvation, of life. It's powerful. It's the answer to man's greatest need. And guess what? People in the marketplace are in the largest mission field in the world. You rub yourself every day with people who need the power and grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My family love to host occasional lunch and dinner gathering to everyone we meet for years. It is a vital part of the ministry that blesses us more than blessing our guests and friends. Thanksgiving dinner is for international students who doesn't have families with them, who experience isolation, homesickness, depression, among others. Part of our dinner, we sing songs, interactive Bible reading and sharing that would allow guests and friends share their lives in school. They would share the joy and the pain. As they shared their stories, we would pray, witness, and minister as felt directed by God's Spirit. Often days after, they would write us back or stop by and thank God for coming to us. The gathering is not just about the turkey or the meal, but for listening to them and ministering to them is the most powerful. In one of the gatherings, there came a Cambodian student. Watched and amazed as my family carefully prepared the food on the table. He approached me and acknowledged that he had been watching us and asked how and why at such a way, a busy schedule, could we invite them and take good care of them. My answer was simple. We have to, I said. It is God's invitation for you to have you come and dine with us. So it's a ministry. It's not just an ordinary lunch or dinner thing. For us, we treat it as a ministry for the glory of God. In the email, Nakamura Sensei mentioned to include my faith journey. And so as I share my life testimony, may the glory of God, may you get to see the wonderful works of the Lord. It's not about me, but it's the God's working in me. I grew up in a small but modest church of approximately 75 people in the countryside. I was obsessed joining big churches in the city because to me, big churches are doing the right thing. I don't know. I have this concept. And so when I moved to the city to study high school, I attended one of the big churches. Then I suddenly realized attending big churches was intimidating, especially when you are guests or you don't know anybody. It can be uncomfortable. I normally sit down the last pew during services, not because of anything, but because I was shy, and I always kept my opinion to myself unless when asked. But when I came to know the Lord personally and accepted Him at the age of 12, things changed. Things changed. I made many friends, got involved in youth activities, choir, teaching Sunday school, and the church became my second home. For it is written in 1 Samuel 12:24, obey the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Remember the great things He has done for you. And indeed, God has done a lot of miracles for me. From being a shy young lass to a leader in the local church, district, and the national level. In my studies, relationships, and having had a robust career in the development field. And in personal basis, from an awful sinner to a Christ-committed follower. God is good all the time. Now, going back to the time, there was an organizational structure in my company, and I was promoted to head the department with 6 people under me. I was just 1 year in the company, and I got the promotion, and I was amazed. I was given a task to resuscitate a dying department to conduct social development training programs in the communities nationwide. And this department has a small budget, yet with no concrete direction and goals to grow further. And I was thinking to myself, how on earth this department can survive? It's impossible. More so, there were 2 other senior staff before me that I didn't know, who has been waiting to get promoted and lead the department that the company has chosen for me. And so, picture it out. They were bypassed because of their structural event. So picture it. There was chaos. professional jealousy, harassment. I experienced harassment. There was no day that I was crying and I was praying. But the Lord told me to forgive. And I asked that. I cried and I forgive those people, the harassment and everything. And I started praying for them, that the Lord will bless them. And true enough, from day one I started running the program, peace started to come. Although I was almost tempted to quit. But the top management, God used the top management people to cheer me on. That made me to be in that race for a long time. And in the end, I ended up feeling challenged, motivated, and thrive. It's not about my ability. It's not about my educational background. But it is the work of the Lord who gave the promise to trust Him. Be the light and the salt wherever you are. God has been my partner in making decisions, and He always provided the way, and it's all done by Him. In the end, that program became the flagship program of the entire company for years when I was there. Isn't God amazing? Alongside my work, I was very much involved in church life, especially in leadership for medical mission, outreach, and church planning. I done this noting in mind it was God's business, and somehow it added to my joy and contentment. One day, I was with a group of leaders in the conference level. In that group, we were planning for conference medical mission and such for the year. I've been hearing the phrase, "Let's do it in God's way." To most of them, that room, that phrase meant nothing, but that phrase hit me dramatically. Something in me is moved, and then I started talking to God for life direction. Later did I know He was putting my desire, the desire in my heart, to be engaged in full-time mission. One of expression of God's graciousness is His promise to guide us by His Spirit, and that I am thankful God has patiently directed me day by day, step by step, as I trusted Him all the way to the time when I was confirmed to leave my country for mission. The church, family, and work celebrated with me. Months after that, I joined the Global Ministries by the UMC in the U.S. for training, and they assigned me in Japan. Although there's a lot of stories for Japan, but it may not take one whole day to share that. But anyhow, my church produced a number of disciples, good leaders, etc. It sent out preachers and teachers of the word and missionaries in the world, that I am glad to be one of them. Though I know the measure of church is not its seating capacity, but it is the sending capacity. What can you do in your work setting to ministry and witness to those around you? And let me encourage you to make an impact list. List the people with whom you work that you will pray for, and begin praying for them each day. Begin each day by consecrating your work. Dedicate it as a sanctuary to God. Make it a holy place where God is present and God can work. And then each day, look for opportunities to minister. to serve, to help, to offer assistance. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do something. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
しばらく今日与えられた御言葉を黙想しましょう。それでは派遣と祝福をいたします。お立ちになれる方はどうぞその場でお立ちください。
And now, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show His favor to you as you walk to be the light and salt in the marketplace for the glory and honor of God. Amen.
主があなた方を祝福し、あなた方を守ってくださいますように。主があなた方に微笑みかけ、あなた方に恵みをお与えくださいますように。あなた方が神の栄光と誉れのために、世界の光と塩になるために歩むとき、主があなた方に神の恵みを示してくださいますように。アーメン。